Or check your junk mail, whatever. Of course, nothing from the church is junk. We understand that. But sometimes it goes in the junk mail file. So check that and go ahead. That way we can go ahead and find out and connect to what your spiritual gifts are and be able to know what those are. So if you would like to get that email and your email is not currently in our email list, write it on a piece of, on your bulletin perforation and hand it into the Welcome Center. That way we can get that and make sure you get that information. We do have some paper copies of this available. So if you would like a paper copy, all you need to do is call or email to Nikki at the church office and you'll get that. Ask at the Welcome Center. We'll get you a paper copy. We're going to be doing this series for about 5 more weeks. So you're going to get to understand how God has tagged you with the Holy Spirit and tagged you with a spiritual gift so you can be about the work of building up the body of Christ. Because that's what our spiritual gifts are for. Now let's just remember, let's review for a second. A spiritual gift, spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit and distributed to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. So if you are a follower of Jesus, congratulations. You have at least one spiritual gift. You're a gifted person. Now come on, folks, there's not many places you've gone this week that have told you right away that you're a gifted person. This should feel pretty good. You are a gifted person. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have not only been gifted with your natural talents, you've not only been gifted with abilities and other things that you've learned to do over the course of your lives, you are gifted with spiritual gifts that have been given by the Holy Spirit when you've decided to be a follower of Jesus. Every single follower of Jesus has these gifts, and these gifts, they're not about us. They're about the body of Christ. These gifts are given to us so that we build up the body of Christ. By the way, what's the body of Christ? Us, right, the church. Have you ever noticed something? This is just an aside. Have you ever noticed that church folks have their own language? You ever noticed that? I mean, really, go out today and just go talk to your neighbor, particularly one who doesn't go to church, and go out there and say, when they say, so what'd you do with your day today? Well, I spent time with the body of Christ. See how they look at you. It's kind of entertaining. Imagine, just think for a second, what it's like to not be a Baptist, or even more, imagine what it's like to not be a church-going person at all. And they come in here and they hear that we have an XYZ club. What is that? Well, you know, good news for me, nobody told me what it was. Alice's church, where she grew up, they had an XYZ club, so I knew what it was. It's where the senior adults would go and eat and have a good time. Extra years of zest. That's where the XYZ club is. WMU, Women's Missionary Union. I grew up hearing that. You don't know what this stuff is. Even the stuff that we kind of make up, we make up our own little variations of things. Like in staff meetings, sometimes we'll talk about CETA. Everybody know what CETA is? Some of our staff are going, what are you talking about? It's kind of funny. CETA, Christmas in the air. We have it every year, right? Every year we have it out there. We have animals, we have some kings, we have a good old time. We sing, our adult choir sings some wonderful songs, we have a great time. But sometimes we refer to things in acronyms. Thankfully, the military and the school system and the shipyard never do those things, so it's okay. But we refer to things in acronyms, and before long we don't understand that people don't know what we're talking about. And believe it or not, folks, lots of folks in our culture, when we talk about churchy things or Christian things, they have no clue what we're talking about. And one of those phrases is the body of Christ. What does that mean? Now, we know, if we've grown up in church, the body of Christ means the church. Why does it mean the church? Well, there we might start scratching our head just a bit. Well, we know that in communion, we hold up the bread and say, this is my body. And then we hold up the juice and say, this is my blood, that Jesus says these things. And that, but wait a minute, now I'm confused again. His bread is the body. But wait, then we're the body of Christ. Is anybody else confused? The church is the body of Christ. Let's talk this morning about some church anatomy. Let's talk about what we mean when we say the church is the body of Christ. And I can even give you some very short textbooks for this conversation about church anatomy. Go ahead and write these references down. You can read these later in the week. I encourage you to do so. Find them in your own Bible. Read them through. Punch them in at Bible Gateway or whatever it is you use and read through them. It's Romans 12, 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. And Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Let's say them again just so we make sure we get it down. Romans 12, 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31, and Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Now, if you want to read more scripture, certainly you get extra credit. But these right here are major passages, the most major passages in the Bible, where we get the body of Christ metaphor given to us for the church. So we're going to read the... I encourage you to read those in your own Bible study times. Think through those and think about what this metaphor of the body of Christ means for the church and why Paul used it for us. Because if we're not careful, we say things all the time and we forget what they mean. Or we say them all the time and we never knew what they meant. We just say it because that's what everybody says. So what do we mean when we talk about the body of Christ? First of all, the body of Christ contains many parts, forms one unit, and exists for one mission. The body of Christ has many parts, forms one unit, and consists of one mission. Let's look, if you will, with me to 1 Corinthians 12, a portion of that passage that I just referenced to you. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we're just going to read a bit of this just for the moment. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 12, it says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body." Everybody got that? Body has many parts. I have one body. I have fingers, arms, legs, toes, feet, nostrils, teeth, everything you need to be a healthy, growing person. I have one body, okay? Then it says, "So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So this metaphor, friends, really is not complicated. All of us have a body. Everyone in this room has a body. Everyone understands that this body is made up of a multiplicity of different pieces and parts, including the ones we can see and including the ones that are so microscopic that we don't even see them, even though they're vital to us. We all have a body. Paul says the church is just like the body. A church has multiple pieces, multiple parts, and they form one unit. Now, this word parts is interesting because it actually means two things. First thing it means is every church is made up of many parts. It means it's made up of many members. Many members. Now, let me explain something to you. When Paul's writing this and he's talking about a member of a church, he's talking about people that participate in the life of the church. They participate in worship. They participate in love feast around the table. They participate in communion together. They participate in serving one another. The members are not some folks listed on a roll back in some file cabinet or back on some server in some room in the church that only a few people know where they are. They did not have this understanding of membership. They were not members of an organization. The members of the body, the members of the church, were the ones who came together and did the ministry together. Those were the members. It was not some organizational gathering where folks were listed on some long record. The members were the ones who came together and did the work and were a part of the body of Christ together. People knew who was a member because they looked into their eyes regularly. The members were the ones who had signed on into covenant relationship with one another, saying that we're going to be for God, we're going to be for one another, we're going to be a part of doing this thing together as the body of Christ. Members are the people who made up a local body of believers. First Baptist of Church of Newport News has many members. But actually, this goes beyond us. Because while we're members of this body, it actually goes deeper than that. Because as I think about this, I think about Pastor Jesus Garcia, pastor of Iglesia Bautista Metropolis in Puerto Rico, who preached from this pulpit, preached from this stage just a few weeks ago in September. And I got to thinking about the fact of how we have taken members of our church down to be alongside them and to do ministry with them. And I got to thinking about how he came and preached and shared with us. And I got to thinking about how we gave money to help them have power in their new building and to help them have a new van when their island was devastated so that they could take people back and forth all on the island and help the island heal and help people have water to drink and food to eat. And I thought to myself, we are one body with parts on an island that we have to fly to from here. 5-6 hours away by flight. We're one body. Then I got to thinking about Dennis Adams and our relationship with Romania that we've had for 25 years. And I got to thinking about all the work that we've done. I've got to thinking about the work that we've done at the camp and the work we've done in villages. And then even yesterday as we had the fall fling gathering that our deacons put together for some of our older adults, we had that gathering yesterday and Dennis was sharing about Romania and he told me that he told the whole group there that Pastor Irnu, who's our pastoral contact in Romania, when he got out of seminary, you know what his reward for graduating seminary was? He was made the pastor of 8 churches. Oh my gosh. 8 churches at the same time. Think about that, friends. If you're going to preach at every one on Sunday morning, Sunday night, it takes you 2 months to get to all your churches. 8 churches. And I got to thinking about it and said, you know what? All 8 of those churches, we're together. We are all members of one body. We're together. It's called the Universal Church. And then I got to thinking about something else. I was doing a lot of thinking the other couple of days. I got to thinking about down the road, up north of us in Denby. I got to thinking about New Beach Grove Baptist Church and Pastor Willard Maxwell. I got to thinking about the wonderful service we shared with them last Thanksgiving and the fact that we're going to do it again this Thanksgiving, Sunday, November 18th in the evening. Mark your calendars. We're going to be with Pastor Maxwell and his congregation, but instead of being there, we're going to be in here. And it's going to be a marvelous time of worship. We're going to try and scratch our heads and figure out how Black Baptists and White Baptists can worship in the same service together and get out at a time that we might consider reasonable. It's actually, you know, it's one of those kind of things where you meet in the middle. The last time I worshiped with them, when it was just their service, I was there for 3 hours. It was beautiful. And the last Thanksgiving service, I think it was 1:15, 1:30. See, we met in the middle. It kind of worked. And it's a rapturous time of worship, of gathering together. And I got to thinking, that's my brother. That's another church that's together in the body of Christ. We're members of one body. And then I got to thinking about going south down Warwick Boulevard. Alice and I and Elizabeth and another friend of ours, we were having dinner Friday night before the Mitchell High football game to go see our son play football. We were having dinner in a restaurant, and right next to us was John Herbst, member of our church, and his wife, Ann, who is pastor, rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church right down here. Going down here and going down into Hiddenwood. Hilton. I get all these things right one day. Down into Hilton, and she's rector over there, and I got to thinking, one body. We're all members. And then I thought about Mount Carmel Catholic Church, the faithful Christian Catholics that are a part of that church. One body. Many members. We may be spread out across all different kinds of local congregations, but we who are many members form one unit, one body that has one mission, and that mission is the mission of God, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to do that until God calls us home or until Jesus comes back, whichever comes first. All of us in this together, one body. Many parts, one mission. There's a secondary meaning of this word parts. Because it's not just talking about the members. As we go further into this 1 Corinthians passage, we realize also that it's not just the members that we're thinking about. We're talking about the spiritual gifts of these members. We're talking about the spiritual gifts that everyone brings into this relationship. So when we're joined together as many parts, what God is telling us is our gifts are joined together as well. And those gifts are joined together exactly as God wants them to be. In other words, God has some plan that He has put together where our spiritual giftedness joins with the spiritual giftedness of others, and it makes that local congregation prepared for their piece of God's mission. So all of us are members of the body. We all have spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts are given out at just this time and just this season so that God's work gets done in our body. All the parts live to work together in unity for the accomplishment of God's work in the church and God's work in the world. One body, many parts, one mission. That tells us something else. If every member of the body is important, and every member has spiritual gifts that are supposed to be used for the mission of God, guess what that means? There are no useless gifts in the body of Christ. There are no lesser spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. There are no useless members in the body of Christ. Every single member that's a part of the local body of First Baptist Church of Newport News has a role to play in the work that God has called us to do. And not only do you have a role to play, you have the spiritual gifts given to you to enable you to play that role. Every single one of us, there are no lesser gifts. There are no useless gifts. Every part matters. Let's read some more in this 1 Corinthians passage, where we see where Paul tells us exactly what we've just talked about. Verse 14 tells us this. 1 Corinthians 12:14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You notice Paul just said this? He's not being redundant. He's being repetitive on purpose. He wants to make very sure. Because think about this, friends. They didn't read this in the first churches. They had this read to them. He wants to make very sure they are hearing the truth of this passage. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. If you really get imaginative and let your mind wander, this passage gets really funny. Think about it. If we were all one part, where would the body be? Can you imagine your whole life if all you were was a tooth? I mean, how much fun would that be? You just lay on the ground. Nobody take you around anywhere, not be able to move. Kind of the wind needs to blow you around. Think about imagine our church family if we were all one thing. Imagine our church family if everybody was like me. You'd never get out of here. I mean, everybody'd have to talk. Y'all aren't laughing very much at that. I don't understand. Imagine if everybody in our church family was like Dennis or Alice or Candace or Leslie or one of our other musicians up here, sharing all their wonderful gifts with us. Imagine if we were all the exact same. our body would atrophy and die because we couldn't do everything God had asked us to do. Our bodies, our human bodies are put together the way they are so we can live. We can't live without each part. If we don't have each part, we will not fulfill the mission and the purpose that God has given us. Every part matters. There are no useless parts. Although doctors have tried to tell us for years that there are useless parts in the body, at least one of them. I have three wonderful children. They are marvelous people, but there is one child that I share more in common with than anybody else. My son James and I have a bond than nobody else in this world has, at least in our family. Maybe somebody else in this world shares this bond with us. James and I both no longer have our appendix. I lost mine when I was 30. He lost his last year. Now, it's a good thing we lost it. They were both infected. We had appendicitis. It had to come out. You know what the doctors told me when I had mine out at 30? Whew, it's a good thing you got rid of this thing. It's useless anyway. You don't need it. Anybody had their appendix out? Anybody? I know this is a personal medical question. We won't do HIPAA or anything. Okay, I understand. Okay, great. How many of you had the doctor tell you, well, it's useless anyway, it doesn't do anything, right? You've heard that? We've been told for years that our appendix doesn't do anything. You know what scientists have recently discovered? It does something. I mean, who knew? God created every part of our body and they all have a point. Who knew that would be the case? Apparently, our appendicitis, our appendix, is a storage area, a lifeboat, if you will, for good digestive bacteria. So that if something goes completely haywire with your digestive processes, those enzymes and those acids and those bacteria that help you regulate your digestion, there's more good bacteria in your appendix so it can repopulate your digestive system. That's what scientists are telling us nowadays. So I guess I'm just in trouble if my digestive system ever goes down, you know. It's not a useless part. There are no useless parts. None of us in the church body are an appendix. There are no appendixes in the church. And by the way, for all of you grammar people in the room, I looked it up. The part in the body, when you pluralize it, is appendixes. When it's the stuff at the back of a book that no one reads, it's the appendices, okay? Just so we're clear on how that works, all right? Just so we're clear. There are no useless parts. Everyone has a role to play in the body of Christ. Now, in case you think that there are some spiritual gifts that are insignificant, let me tell you a story I read recently in a book that our authentic community team is reading. It's a book called it's a book about welcoming people to church. I read a little story about a real couple that hadn't gone to church in years there, and I read about their first church experience in years. The first thing is they arrived 15 minutes late. And so they felt very much like the spotlight was on them. You know why they arrived 15 minutes late? The website had the service wrong. Do you think it matters? The person who puts together the website and makes sure all those things are right, the person who proofreads that nobody in the church may even know who that is, the person who proofreads that stuff, do you think that spiritual gift matters? Then they got to the church and the first greeters they met said, oh, hey, it's great to see you. And they turned back around and started talking to each other rather than talking to the guest and helping the guest. You think those welcomers to the church, those folks who are our first friendly faces, those folks who are our first ones who make sure guests get to the right place, do you think those gifts matter? You better believe they matter. And then they finally got to the children's area to drop off their child. The children's area was dirty. They went to the diaper changing station. There was no wipes and there were no diapers. There was no anything. The place smelled. They went to the bathroom. It looked like it hadn't been cleaned in over a month. Do you think the person that cleans the toilets in that church, do you think that matters? Friends, it can matter for eternity. If one guest shows up here who hadn't been to church in years and they feel like nobody cared and they feel like that the place was not ready for them and they feel like that their child was not safe or not secure and they showed up at the wrong time because all the publications weren't proofread, do you think those gifts matter? You better believe they do. Some of these behind-the-scenes gifts, sometimes folks don't think about them, but friends, if we don't have those things working well and working right, we will not do what God has asked us to do. And in the meantime, someone may miss connecting to Jesus because we didn't steward all of our gifts. And then when we decided to steward them, we didn't fully develop them so that they continued to grow. Every gift matters. And it matters for eternity. In the body of Christ, God has put a purposeful plan together for all of our parts. Every part matters. Every part has a purpose. God has a plan. We're not here, friends, believe it or not. We're not here for our enjoyment or our own entertainment. Sometimes people think church is like this. They think, well, there's a staff and maybe a few other, you know, key folks that aren't on staff. But those are the folks who do all the work and get everything together, and we show up and watch what they do. We show up and watch what the band does up here. And if we feel like getting involved, great. If not, well, it's just kind of background music for us. We show up and listen to what the preacher does, look at what the preacher wears, and then we kind of critique him later at lunch. I know it happens. That's fine. We look at what our Sunday school teacher or small group leader does. We show up if we want to, and we give them some critique and that sort of thing as well. Friends, I'm not up here for your enjoyment. Can I be blunt? I really don't care what you think about me. This is about the Word of God, people. This is about what God is trying to teach us and do with us. And this is about you and me and all of us trying to use our gifts to do what God has called us to do. And I love you, and I know that you love me, but we, friends, have got to get out of the idea. And it's not just our church, it's many churches. We've got to get out of the idea that 10% of the people do 90% of the work and the rest of the folks just watch. That's not how God's mission is done in the world. God's mission is done when every part realizes its role to play, every part realizes its spiritual giftedness, and every part does what God calls it to do, and every part does the work of the congregation, doing God's mission in the world. You know how people burn out in the church, whether it's ministers or whether it's lay people? You know how they burn out? They burn out trying to carry a load for 10 people when they should only be carrying a load for one. The lesson here is that God has arranged all of us for an important part. And when all of us do our part, the whole church and the whole mission of God wins. We're not here for your enjoyment or your entertainment. We gather here to give our best in the worship of God. Every single one of us. And our calling, is to steward everything we have so that God's work is done and God's kingdom is brought to the forefront in Newport News and beyond. We're in it together. And we're not in it to watch some people do it while the rest of us sit. As we said last week, this isn't Jacuzzi Church. This is not sit and soak in the Word. We're not saved to sit, Rick Warren says. We're saved to serve. It's a big difference. In the body of Christ, there's no room for arrogance or preference among the gifts of members. Romans 12, 3 through 8. Let's read that together. Another challenging passage. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say in every to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Ooh, that hurts. Yikes. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Every one of us has important gifts to give the work of Jesus Christ. And when we ignore our own gifts because we look at someone else's gifts and think they're better, or when we demean others' gifts in order to make ourselves feel better about our own, it hurts the body. When we say things like, I'm a better singer than him, I should be up front more. I work hard serving every week, but no one ever comments or notices what I do. That person always serves in leadership positions. Why don't I get to be a leader? This person doesn't get the event planned as well as I do, so I need to make sure I keep handling the planning. Or I've been doing this job in the church for years. I don't need any help. And I certainly don't need to go and learn anything new about it. I've been doing this for years. Friends, all of us have a responsibility to discover, develop, and deploy our gifts day in and day out. We're never done developing. We're never done learning how to deploy them. And we have to always keep in mind that if we're not careful, pride can take root with our spiritual gifts. And we can begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We can begin to think that our job is to judge and throw rocks rather than our job being to be a part of the whole purpose and plan moving forward with what God is doing. Now let me challenge us with one final verse of Scripture. It's something that we just read, and it's something that I have, ever since I really read it and it really hit me, it has not let me go. And I still ponder it and turn it over day in and day out. Romans 12, 4 through 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. I lied to you a minute ago, didn't I? I did. I do care what you think about me. But it's not because I'm concerned or worried about every bit of evaluation that you might have about what I say or what I do. It's because I want us to care for one another the way this text talks about us caring for one another. This text says we belong to one another. All of us belong to one another. That means I care about you and you care about me. So one of the healthiest things that evidences how healthy we are as a congregation is how are we doing at caring for one another and belonging to one another. Think about it, friends, just for a minute. What does it mean that I belong to Kelly, one of our deacons here on the front row, and Kelly belongs to me? What does it mean that I belong to Landon Grisso, one of our teenagers, and he belongs to me? What does it mean that I belong to Judy Gentry and she belongs to me? What does it mean that I belong to Jackie Hornsby and she belongs to me? That I belong to John Hertzler and he belongs to me? What does that mean, friends, that we belong to one another? That's the body. I can no more, when we belong to one another, we can no more hurt one another than we could cut off our own leg. We can no more wound one another than if we cut off our own hand. We belong to one another. By the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are connected at a deep level that recognizes that when we make mistakes, we still love each other and we offer forgiveness. And that when we do things right, we celebrate and love one another and share that journey. I've been at a marching band competition all weekend. It made me think of that wonderful marching band movie, Drumline. I put wonderful in air quotes there, but I mean, you know, it has its moments. The beginning of the movie, all the freshmen are out there for freshman band camp. They're all out there. They're out there at about 6 in the morning. They got woke up at 4 a.m. They get them all out there. They're all standing in the field. And then over here comes a line of folks that are late. By the way, you don't get to be late for band camp. Early is on time. On time is late. That's the way it works. And they're struggling over here. It's late. And when the director looks over at him and says, "Young man, who's your roommate?" He names his roommate. The band director walks over to the kid who's his roommate, Devin, the star of the film, and he says, "Mr. Miles, why is your roommate late?" He says, "I don't know, Dr. Lee. I guess he overslept." The director looked at him and said, "Well, why didn't you wake him up?" And Devin, the cocky, self-assured young freshman, says, "Dr. Lee, I'm not his mama." Dr. Lee looks over and says, section leaders of the band, what's our concept?" Every one of them, one band, one sound. One band, one sound. Dr. Lee looks out at all the freshmen and says, "Freshmen, when one of us is late, we are all late. When one of us sounds bad, we all sound bad. One band, one sound." You know, the more I think about that movie clip, the more I think I've read this somewhere. The more I think about, I've heard this before. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, "But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it." If one part is honored, everyone rejoices with it. One band, one sound. Guess I'm not as smart as I think I am. I do care what you think. I better. You know why? Because we're one band and we're one sound. And because when one part suffers, every part suffers. When one part rejoices, every part rejoices. Because we're in it together. Forever. One band, one sound, many parts, one body, one mission. Thanks be to God. Pray with me.